SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is time to get to our 7-7 top headlines. Starting off with Jamal Murray, an MRI has confirmed that he did tear his ACL on that left knee. He is out indefinitely. Now, the Nuggets sit 16-1 to win the Western Conference, while Nikola Jokic is still the favorite at minus 195 to win MVP.
Yeah, and now for the Nuggets as they suffer what I believe is the biggest injury up until this point in the NBA season. They've moved down to 16-1 to win the Western Conference. I do not see that being a realistic goal anymore for this team. It's a big boost for a team like the Lakers, who's very likely to meet Denver in round one. Ultimately now, the West, as deep as it is, it feels like we're shrinking the field. The two LA teams, yep. Utah and Phoenix, feel like the four teams that you can make a legitimate case for to win that Western Conference. Unfortunately, Denver eliminated from that group.
Yep, and one of them, of course, being the Clippers. Paul George, he stayed hot in Indy last night, leading the Clippers to their sixth straight win. He had 36 points to the board with Kawhi Leonard on the bench. The Clippers have been hot lately.
Is Paul George the most important player in the league? No is the answer to that question. But he's definitely important. He's definitely important. Paul George has top 10 player in the league potential. It's not an exaggeration.
Yep.
Even if it was a flash in the pan, this is a guy that has a top 3 MVP finish under his belt, and it didn't come all that long ago. If the level that he is playing at, it's a very high level. But if he can get anything near it in the postseason, the Clippers are going to be such a tough out. And I'll go a step further here, okay? I have been having an itchy trigger finger recently, but I haven't done it just yet in the futures market. I might have to just click on the Clippers to win the title at 7-1. And I know people are like, what? But you're the LeBron, Lakers. How could you? Money's money, not bias. Told you this a while back. I think the title comes out of the Staples Center. The Clippers are the ones showing the value.
Interesting, yeah. And then also last night, Celtics edged the Trail Blazers for their fourth straight win, winning 116-115. Sees cover as the road dogs. Jason Tatum scores 25 of his 32 points in a big second half.
The Blazers stink. I mean, that is just the extent of this headline here, right? And we can just move on and talk about Shane Bieber being sweet. They have now, in their last 8 games against teams above 500, they're 1-7. Their defense is abysmal. People ask, who's going to stop them? Themselves. They randomly can't score. They certainly can't defend. We all love Lillard. I love Lillard. You love Lillard. The NBA loves Lillard, as we should. They do not have what it takes, and the futures market will tell you as much. They're healthy now. They don't even have as good of odds as the Mavericks, much less now the banged-up Denver Nuggets to come out of the Western Conference. 32-1. You want to click that number? Be my guest. Not for me.
Yep, good win for the Celtics, who are really turning things around as of late. But let's switch it over to Major League Baseball. Shane Bieber had 9 scoreless innings in the Indians' win over the White Sox. Cleveland won 2-0 in that game.
Yeah, right now, Bieber just incredible to start this season. And this race for the Cy Young between him and Gerrit Cole feels like it's going to be a lot of fun. Cole plus 280, Bieber 4-1. Maybe a little value there on Shane Bieber.
Yeah, I want to quickly welcome in our radio audience. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines. Also in baseball, we had the Padres' Blake Snell. He was pulled in the first inning against the Pirates. Of course, he gave up 3 runs, loaded bases. He was not happy about it, but this was an outlier, Kev. We're not going to see pitchers continuously pulled in that first inning.
Definitely not, but speaking of Cy Young, I mean, Snell's tied for the third choice on the board, or the fifth choice, rather, for the NL Cy Young. That's not going to help. Certainly not going to help the old ERA. He got 2 outs! 2 outs! Against the Pirates! It's unbelievable. It's not going to, it shouldn't happen again. But, you know, Snell now is just known for being pulled at moments in a game in which you are very surprised.
And of course, another headline that we wanted to talk about was in soccer, PSG knocking off the defending champs in the Champions League quarterfinals. You actually gave a hero of the night to somebody important there.
Absolutely, yes. Manny Taremi, well-deserved. And as far as today's fixtures go, you've got Dortmund against Manchester City and Liverpool against Real Madrid yesterday. Both teams trailing on aggregate won the second leg. Also, both games went under. Are those, you know, going to be blind trends to follow? I'm not saying that, but that's what we saw in both fixtures yesterday in the Champions League. So perhaps some value on Dortmund, perhaps some value on Liverpool, and maybe pump the brakes on expecting a ton of goals here now that these teams have leads and they're looking to just secure their position into the semis.
Yep. And let's switch it over to our last headline, of course, in the NFL. James Conner was added to the running back mix in Arizona. He spent four seasons with the Steelers. He appeared in 33 starts. Now, he's only on a one-year deal with the Cardinals, but the Cardinals are making a lot of interesting offseason moves.
Very aggressive, right? The Rams, they get Stafford, headlines, headlines, headlines. The Niners were coming up to the three, headlines, headlines, headlines. Russell Wilson, Seahawks, it's happy, it's not. I don't know. The Cardinals, though, just in the background, we'll take you, we'll take you, we'll take you. The NFC West is going to be really, really tough to win.
Yes, it will. Stay up with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Kev, we have a big, big game tonight with the Sixers versus the Nets. And the top two teams in the Eastern Conference, both 37 and 17, tied for that number one spot, are going to be facing each other. This would be more exciting if both teams had their, you know, best players in the game. The Sixers obviously will. But for the Nets, we're kind of hearing a little bit of talk about who's going to be in and who's going to be out.
So this is very unfortunate for our chances to get as many of the top guys out there as you'd like. We knew Harden was going to be missing the game, but now that the Brooklyn Monday matchup with Minnesota was moved to Tuesday, it puts them on the second leg of a back-to-back. That's why this look-ahead line here is 6.5. It opened at 5.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. That's an aggressive move from FanDuel. That is them not looking to get – and also, I give them credit. I don't know why they post this line before they get the information, but credit to them for giving us something to chat about here as far as this line goes. But that line says no Harden, and it also says we'd be floored if they had both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. We're not sure about Kyrie's availability, but wasn't around for the Minnesota game here. The fact that they're still on the road makes me think he doesn't play. And then as far as Kevin Durant goes, Aaron, he's played one doubleheader all season long. One. That was back in January. And Durant has not eclipsed 30 minutes. Listen, like, I wanted as well, but... This is the reality of the situation.
One of the most important on the board. I know, but you're right.
It absolutely is.
They are on a back-to-back. And Kyrie, we're just not sure about.
Yeah, and Durant hasn't even eclipsed 30 minutes yet in any of the three games that he's played since he's come back from his long, long layoff, right? So now to ask him to go out there on a back-to-back, I'm not sure it's worth it for Brooklyn, especially if he's supposed to be by himself. So now you're sitting here, you're staring at this 6.5 number, and my best advice is, you know, kind of like an old Western, hand over the holster, waiting to fire. You get the update to your phone. Durant out, Kyrie out, boom, click, 6.5. Number closes at double digits. On the other end of it, Durant in, Kyrie in, boom. You take plus 6.5 and let the number close at around 2. That's the best way to play this game.
Yeah, and I mean, if we had known that Kyrie was going to be in this game, I think it'd be different for Kevin Durant. Maybe they would play him for half the game, kind of have him on that back-to-back. At least we get a sense of somewhat of what an Eastern Conference matchup could potentially look like. But just in general, obviously, the seeding is important, and I feel that the Nets keep winning games, and so do the 76ers. But it's getting to the point without seeing this trio that I hate even talking about it. It's just put your players in. Just play. I mean, I know things are going on with Kyrie, potentially, but I mean, even Stephen A. Smith on First Take yesterday was kind of like, hey, you guys got to start playing these games together. I get they don't want to play them on a back-to-back. It's unfortunate they just had to play Minnesota yesterday, and now they have to make the decision today. But I think if Kyrie had 100% said, hey, I'm going to be in this game, I think we'd be having a different conversation. There's still a chance he could be. Maybe we'll find out right before the game. That would be something else if we see both of them walk onto the court. But definitely you make a great point about waiting till you have all the information available and then just trying to click that as fast as you can on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
And let me piggyback off something you said there, though, about the idea of being able to watch them play to get an idea of what an Eastern Conference Finals might look like. We're not going to get that throughout any point in the season. There was an early season matchup in Brooklyn where the Nets beat the Sixers. Durant, Harden, and Kyrie Irving didn't play in the game for the Brooklyn Nets. Caris LeVert beat the Sixers. I'll remember the game for the whole season because I lost a ton of money on the game because I beat the line, and then all of a sudden the Sixers somehow lost to Caris LeVert and Joe Harris. Then the second game, no Durant in Philadelphia. Sixers won the game pretty comfortably. And I don't know if Kyrie played either. I think it might have been Harden by himself, actually, in Philly. Yeah. Right, boom. Yeah, so there you go. So we're going to go 3-for-3 here. No juice on these games. That, of course, does make it a little bit difficult then to get a sense. That's one of the valuable things with the NBA's regular season. Part of the reason last year why there was this confidence for me in saying that Miami could upset Milwaukee. Those regular season meetings were valuable. We just don't have anything that we won't have anything to sink our teeth into in that respect if these teams do meet in the Eastern Conference Finals.
And what's interesting is after watching Ben Simmons talk about this game, he was saying they're more concerned about the Lakers since they're the reigning champs, which makes sense, just going towards the playoffs and things of that nature. But with the Nets, he made an interesting comment saying Brooklyn has a lot of talent, but at the end of the day, there's only one ball and you've got to play defense too. So since acquiring James Harden, the Nets have a 120 offensive rating, second in the NBA behind the Jazz. Their defensive rating is at 24th. And what's interesting about this is I understand what he's saying here, but I also think it's a confidence boost in that, hey, Brooklyn hasn't really played together. Hey, they're not really great on defense. You guys are giving them a lot of credit for a team that hasn't really, they're putting those wins together 100% on paper. Yes, they look amazing, but it seems that the Philadelphia 76ers have some confidence.
And they should, because they've been great all year long. And as much as we've talked about, you know, Brooklyn being able to win despite missing their big three, more often than not, though, they still have had at least multiple guys from the big three available for them throughout the season. The Sixers as well, but their record with Joel Embiid, they have, you know, they've won, I think, above 70% of their games when Embiid is on the floor. You know, don't forget, a guy who's going to finish top three in the NBA's MVP voting has missed nearly 20 games for the 76ers. So that's an important part of the conversation as well. And to Simmons' point about, look, you got to play defense, some might look, oh, man, that's a real shot by Ben. It is what it is. The Nets, historically, if you look at, you know, who has won the most recent NBA championships, even just NBA championships throughout history, they would not meet the criteria because their defense is just nowhere near good enough. I mean, they have one of the worst defenses in the NBA, much less, you know, not having an elite defense, which you typically do need to go out there and win an NBA championship. On the other end of that, the Sixers are a phenomenal defensive team. The Nets big three just has no reps together. None.
Yeah, we basically have like nothing to go off of. But of course, for that number one spot, the one thing that you mentioned yesterday, which was very eye-opening, is the Sixers' next six games are going to be very challenging. They have the Nets tonight. Then they have the Clippers Warriors, Suns, and then two games in Milwaukee against the Bucks. So it's going to be interesting over the next 2 weeks who's going to claim that number one spot. And maybe that's the reason why the Nets aren't too concerned about the number one spot right now. Maybe they think this stretch is going to be pretty difficult for the 76ers, and that way they'll kind of be knocked off a little bit and they'll be able to claim that number one spot. But again, I just feel like we're harping on the same thing. Just we need to see that trio play together at some point before the playoffs.
And as far as that race for the one, again, there's a market basically on FanDuel that can give you an idea. The odds to win the Atlantic Division are still available. Again, unless Milwaukee were to come and take it away from either one of those teams, whoever wins the Atlantic will be the one seed because it's got both Brooklyn and Philadelphia in it. The Sixers are minus 115 to win the Atlantic Division. The Nets are minus 110. So the Sixers are slight favorites. If you wanted to get creative, okay, and you back Philly at minus 115, I promise you, if they win this game against the Nets, that number will go up. I promise you that. How high will it go up? Is it going to go to minus 300? No. Is it going to go to minus 200? Maybe not that high, but it's going to be, I would say, cross that minus 150 threshold, and perhaps you get a good enough number on the Nets to lock in some level of profit, or you're just going to be able to bet the Sixers before they can make that push towards winning this number one spot in the East. As difficult as that stretch is, Aaron, a lot of these games are home for them, and they have been just as good at home this year as they've been over their previous season. So it's a big boost for Philly.
Yeah, and you make a great point about those Atlantic Division odds. But, of course, with the Eastern Conference odds, you still have the Nets at minus 115, Bucks at plus 300, and the 76ers at plus 600. So something to keep in mind. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We're going to continue to break down this game next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by co-host Kevin Walsh. Previous segment, we were talking about the Sixers versus the Nets. Of course, that game happening tonight, but we wanted to bring on Sixers insider Paul Hudberk to talk all things 76ers in the segment. So, Paul, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Glad to be on, guys.
Yeah, happy to have you. So just off the bat, I want to ask you the vibe around the Philadelphia 76ers as an insider.
For the most part, it's positive. Fans are pretty excited. Fans are pretty happy, but it is Philadelphia, so there's still plenty of hesitation for some people to go all in. Obviously, Joel Embiid has got everyone really excited. Everyone's kind of hopping on the MVP train for him. Ben Simmons is still the most polarizing athlete I think I've ever covered and perhaps ever in the city of Philadelphia. So, you know, that's still an ongoing thing there. People love his defense, frustrated with his offense. And Tobias Harris, people have kind of come around on him a little bit. You know, a lot of people were skeptical with him with, you know, the near max deal and struggling in the postseason last year. But he's had, you know, he's been their arguably their most reliable, most durable player this season. So people have turned the page on Tobias. But like I said, Ben is still making people a little nervous, and the Brooklyn Nets are still making people around here very nervous as well.
We'll talk more about probably, you know, Ben and Embiid specifically, but I want to ask you off the bat about Doc Rivers, because that's the very obvious change for Philly this year, and it was a long time until for this show, and I'm sure a lot of folks in Philly to believe, like, wait, we're not going to lose every road game? We're not going to, you know, beat a good team and then drop this random game to the Sacramento Kings? What do you mean? How much of that do you attribute to Doc Rivers coming in here now and being the coach for this Sixers squad?
Definitely a huge part of it. There is a different maturity level, I would say, to this team. As you alluded to, the most vivid example I remember last year was they smoke Milwaukee on Christmas Day. Then 2 days later, they go to Orlando and lay an absolute dud on the road with their full lineup, everybody healthy, and they just lay an egg. And this year, that stuff doesn't really happen, especially and the most encouraging thing to me is that stretch when Joel Embiid was out. Because as we know in the past, when Joel Embiid was out, that was it. They couldn't win a game. They were 7-3 in the last stretch without him. You talk about the road, you know, that six-game road stand, their longest of the season, four games on the West Coast. They came out of that thing 4-2, their most recent one. They came out of it 3-1, and this is a team that would not have happened last year. There is no shot. So I think Doc certainly deserves a lot of credit for that. There's been a lot of talk about accountability this year, and I think that's that's driven a lot of that. But also, I look at a guy like Danny Green. Danny Green has been, for people that don't know, has been such a huge part of this team on and off the court. I mean, since the All-Star break, he's played at an extraordinarily high level. But I also think off the court, his leadership, the guy has won 3 rings. That's not an accident. He's been around cultures. He's been around great players, great coaches. And I think that's reflective of what you're seeing with him and the way the other guys, the younger guys on the team look. Even, you know, they had that game against New Orleans over the weekend where they just looked flat, looked like they didn't even show up. And Danny Green called them out. He said, this is still a young team. We thought we were going to show up and we were going to win this game, and that's not the way it works. The Sixers haven't had enough of that kind of guy. And I think Doc Rivers certainly a very big part of it, but I think Danny Green is a guy, and just that general veteran leadership. And you have to give credit to guys like Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, because they've grown, and I think they've matured, and they're starting to understand that they can't just win on talent. They have to show up every night to win basketball games in the NBA.
And I think the team's record is pretty reflective of how they've changed things this season compared to the past. Of course, sitting at 37-17, tied for that number one spot with the Nets. Who do you think is going to come out with that top number one seed?
So I do think the Sixers will ultimately come out with it, but I don't think that's necessarily reflective of the fact that they are necessarily a better team than the Nets. I think it's just I heard you guys talking in the last segment about, you know, the next 6 games for the Sixers. Yes, they're pretty tough. Especially that, you know, that road series in Milwaukee, that's going to be brutal. But their last 12 games it's soft. That schedule really softens up. And right now the Sixers, it's weird to say it because it's always been the reverse. But right now the Nets are the not healthy team and the Sixers are the healthy team, which in Philadelphia, that's mind-blowing that they are the healthy team. It's the other teams that are struggling with injuries or guys out. So that's why, I mean, you look at the matchup tonight and you see, you know, I don't even know who's going to play for the Nets tonight, but I know that the Sixers, everybody but George Hill, who hasn't even played a game for them yet, will be in the lineup. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's the circumstances, you know, with the health. Plus, I think the Sixers are just playing very good basketball. So I think with all that, I do think the Sixers ultimately will come out with that one seed.
Let me ask you, though, Paul, as you size up the rest of the East, with Brooklyn specifically, how do you manage a team that, look, all of this talent, great. That trio probably plays less than 10 games together when we turn it over to the postseason. Do you think that for the Sixers, they're, you know, in their minds, like, listen, we've played together. We've been in the trenches together. Yes, we've also had to win without Embiid, but we've played way more. We've been together longer than these guys. And that kind of camaraderie maybe can be weighed in a little bit if they do meet in, say, a conference finals matchup.
You can't discount it. You look back to, on a much lesser scale, the Sixers the last 2 seasons, you know, when they got Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris a couple years ago, down the stretch, Joel Embiid barely played that season because he was hurt. And so they really, that they, Brett Brown constantly said, oh, we've only played X amount of games together. And, you know, he thought that was a big issue for them going into the playoffs. And that Toronto series, they had not developed that. They were winning games off of sheer talent. And then even last year, you know, the guys were in and out of the lineup, whether it was Joel Embiid, Josh Richardson, you know, who's no longer here, obviously, or, you know, guys were kind of in and out, and they also never got that camaraderie. And that really hurt them throughout the season that they kind of never developed that. So, the Nets, that trio is so ridiculously talented that they are going to win plenty of games just based on that. But yeah, I think there is something to be said for those guys not playing a ton together. It's going to be a matter of what wins out. Will it be just that pure firepower of those three guys, or will it be a Sixers team that is more cohesive, especially on the defensive end of the floor? That's really where they've really picked it up recently, especially. It's such an interesting dichotomy of the two kind of talent levels and the strengths of those teams. So it's going to be, I really wish we were getting a more full matchup tonight to kind of see what that would look like, but we might just have to wait till the postseason.
Yes, Kevin and I also really wishing we could see that full matchup. But you mentioned defense. Now, Ben Simmons, he's actually behind Rudy Gobert to win Defensive Player of the Year at plus 240. I know we've talked about him, some people loving him, some people hating him, but you talked about before you came on how great he is overall as a player. Obviously, there might not be a shot that he wins this market, but just overall this season, how has he stepped up?
Defensively, he's been unbelievable, and he's gotten better each year of his NBA career. He has taken it to another level, and it's funny. I've read a bunch of articles, and it's hard to quantify because you see a lot of people who are pro Rudy Gobert. They'll throw out, oh, his rim protection stats and all these numbers, and look how much better he is than Ben Simmons. It's fair. I understand. Rudy Gobert is a great player. He deserves the Defensive Player of the Year. He's won. He deserves to be in the conversation, and perhaps at the top this year. But when you look at what Ben Simmons does, often he's guarding the other team's best perimeter player, whether that could be 1 through 4 on a given night. He can switch 1 through 5. And then also there are nights where Doc Rivers doesn't put him on the best player and kind of just lets him play that like a free safety role because he's so disruptive. He's so good in the passing lanes, and he just gets his hands on everything. So it's hard. There aren't real stats that kind of quantify all of that. All you can see is that On any given night, he's guarding the other team's best player, and that he is always at the top or near the top in steals and deflections, loose balls recovered, all those stats. Offensively, listen, it's been a struggle. There's no two ways about it, especially since the All-Star break. He was much better in the Dallas game, but in the games before the All-Star break, he had been really struggling with turnovers, which he had kind of quelled for a little bit, but that kind of reared back up. And, of course, the shot. I mean, that's, he's – it's not even necessarily the jumper, the threes, whatever. It's oftentimes he does not view his offense, his scoring, as the best option. And sometimes that is the best option for the offense to work as a whole. I think what Daryl Morey has done in building this roster, giving Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, surrounding them with three guys who all shoot 40% from three in the starting lineup, has helped him immensely. It's helped Joel Embiid immensely. So, the big question mark for Ben Simmons is going to be, what is he in the playoffs? What is he going to look like against these elite defenses? But from a defensive perspective, when they're going to match up against a team like the Nets, a guy like Ben Simmons is going to be invaluable.
Mm-hmm. And Ben recently in the news gave Rudy Gobert 42, according to Ben Simmons, which I love. This sneaky rivalry between Ben and all of Utah, I'd love for him to take another award off them. Last time they didn't understand what the definition of the word rookie was. Maybe that was somewhat on Adidas, but I love that he won that award as well. I wanted to ask you about the MVP before we let you go here, Paul. Embiid, second choice on the board behind Jokic. Do you think he can come away with this thing?
It's going to be tight. Listen, if it was just based off of how good he has been this year, I think certainly there is more than a fair argument to make, because when he is on that Dallas game the other night, he was electric. Like, he is just so skilled. It's so hard to stop him because he's not just a 7-footer. He is so skilled. But I do think, will he play enough games is going to be the question. Jokic, it looks like he's not going to miss any games. So it's just going to be a matter of, will he play enough games? And I think if he does, he's got as good a shot as anybody.
Love it. And quickly, just before we let you go, can you just tell us how far you see the 76ers going this season?
I would say at least second round. I would think anything other than Eastern Conference Finals would be a major disappointment personally.
All right, Paul, thank you so much for joining us, giving all the insights into the 76ers. We obviously love having you on because we are both 76ers fans ourselves. Obviously, a little Philly love here. So happy to have you on. Stay with us here, guys, on the Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to talk about all the NBA games that are on the board today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the Early Line. Kevin and I want to get into some NBA preview. There are 12 games on the board. Lots of games, of course, are the 76ers versus the Nets. We talked all about that game right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. The 76ers are laying 6.5. But let's get into some other games. Another one on the board, Heat Nuggets. The Heat on a back-to-back after being blown out yesterday by the Suns. Denver right now laying 4 with a total pretty low at 213. Now, head-to-head, the under is 4-1 last 5 meetings overall against the Heat, and 1-4 against the spread in the last 5 meetings overall for the Heat, just in general. Which way are you playing this game, mm-hmm. Kev?
It feels like an under, right? Miami's offense mm-hmm. has not been hitting the heights that we've been looking for. Denver now without Jamal Murray. And Denver also is kind of sneaky turned into a little bit more of an under team, at least than they were in the beginning of this season, right? Some of that stretch without Jamal Murray, we saw them play into the unders there. And against the better teams, they've been playing to the under, right? So if you look at it since their last 8 games against the good teams, Sixers under, Clippers mm-hmm. under, Boston under, Golden State under. They split with San Antonio, 1 under, 1 over. So it's been unders when they're playing good teams. Consecutive unders for Miami now on this West Coast trip here. The under jumps off the page to me. I know it's low, but it's low for a reason.
Mm-hmm. No, like you mentioned, very low for a reason. Now, another game on the board, we had the Bucks, Timberwolves with Minnesota, of course, on a back-to-back after being blown out by the Nets. Now, the Bucks are -9.5. That's already jumped up 1 point throughout the show. The Bucks, though, 1-4 against the spread in their last 5 games overall. So maybe in this game you want to play the total. It's not posted yet on the FanDuel Sportsbook, but the over is 9-4 in the Bucks' last 13 games played on 2 days rest. The over is also 4-1 in the Timberwolves' last 5 overall.
And remember, this is another kind of day game here for the NBA as Minnesota's moving the schedule around a little bit here. The big question is Giannis. We've not seen Giannis in a long time mm-hmm. now, okay?
We need to
talked
see him.
About it. Keep... we do, though. Again, so I was thinking about this the other day. Probably one of the more underrated factoids, if you will, of last mm-hmm. year's postseason is that Giannis didn't finish the playoffs. Giannis got hurt in game 4 against Miami, and weirdly enough, Milwaukee won that game, and he wasn't available in game 5. I don't think a lot of people remember that because the series was done. The Heat won the first 3 games, and the Bucks just didn't have enough to beat Miami quite clearly. It was just an awful matchup for them. But, like, again, if we're going to worry about Durant's health and LeBron's health and everybody under the sun, Giannis, too. Giannis as well.
Yeah, I feel like it's not being talked about that as much.
It's not at all.
Even their odds are reflective of that. He's going to be in. He's going to be healthy, this and that. But what if he's not? I mean, you make a great point that he was injured yet last year in the playoffs. God forbid that happens again. Mm-hmm. The bench has been pretty good without him being in at the beginning of it. But lately, they haven't been as well. I mean, considering the against the spread numbers and just they get those leads and they would blow it. But it's definitely something that's not being talked about as much as players like KD, AD, or LeBron.
And look, as much as the early line is completely dismissed Milwaukee, secretly, I still am ready to back this team like a total fool, depending on the matchups. But secretly, even though we've completely dismissed them, I can't do that if Giannis isn't around. Nobody's batting. Like, oh yeah, Middleton will carry. What? Middleton can't usually answer the bell as the number 2. Like, that's not happening here. So, need to see Giannis back. He practiced, so he might play in this mm-hmm. game here. And if he does play, you would look towards the Bucks. Boy, did they roll Orlando. This is the hot and cold Bucks. They're probably going to win and cover their next 5 games.
Going to take them and have a winning streak after how terrible they've been playing. Not a bad way to play that. But another game on the board, we have the Mavericks, Grizzlies. Mavericks are 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 meetings. Overall, Mavericks are also 5-1 against the spread in the last 6 meetings in Memphis. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, they're only laying 2 with a total of 225. Why are they laying such a short number there?
Well, because Memphis is much better than anybody realizes. So this is actually a sneaky, very important game. Dallas with a win could clinch the tiebreaker over the Grizzlies. And I know you might be saying to yourself, oh, come on, Memphis isn't going to catch them. One game separates them in the loss column. If Memphis wins this game, they will have the same amount of losses on the season. A half game would separate them because Dallas has played a couple of more games on the year. So this is a very important, and probably it has to be the most important game on the slate. We've talked about the Grizzlies. They've been very good against the number. They've actually been getting way more results than we realize. The Mavs also come in slumping a little bit. Losers of two in a row. A tight one to San Antonio, and then getting beat up pretty good by the Sixers. With that being said, though, the Mavs, 10-5 against the number as a road favorite. This has been the case with them all season long. When they're away from Dallas and they're supposed to win, they not only usually do so, they cover as well. I'll lean towards the Mavericks. And again, a big game here for the Western Conference seeding.
That must just stink for Mavericks fans who go to the games and are expecting them to finally get some wins, and then they go on the road and they keep winning all of them. I would be so frustrated with them.
Good point.
If this was the Sixers, I would definitely be trash-talking a lot every time that they had played at home if I had to pay for a $1,000 ticket, which is basically kind of what you have to pay now since, of course, COVID and all the new rules and regulations. But let's get to another game. Clippers-Pistons. LA, of course, on the back-to-back after playing the Pacers, blew them out. The Clippers are 9-1 against the spread in their last 10 games, played on 0 days rest. So they're pretty good in this spot. They've also been hot, winning 6 straight, 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 games overall. Right now, laying 9.5. But do you think for some reason Kawhi wouldn't play in this game and potentially Paul George? I know we've been talking a lot about Paul George and how he's been hitting over 30 points in many games recently.
I'm thinking Kawhi plays, Paul George sits. That's what I'm thinking for this game here. So if that's the case, Kawhi, well, yeah, just I don't know if they – okay, here's another thing with the Jamal stuff. I think there's a world in which all these other contenders go, oh, no, 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 no. No more back-to-backs for you, superstar. No more back-to-backs for you.
Yep.
Very, very cautious. Seeding be damned. We're going to be healthy when the playoffs starts, and that's that. The Pistons actually just played the Clippers, though. That's the Pistons' most recent game in L.A. They were catching 13, covered, losing by 7. The Pistons, to be honest, like, I don't know if we talk about the Pistons. Actually, no, we talk about the Pistons an appropriate amount. But I love this team. Like, they're so bad, and they're above 500 against the number. Like, they're so bad, but they know how to cover, and you just absolutely adore them for it. I'll also take a look at the over here. That game had 255 points when they played in LA. The Clippers right now have been playing to the overs 4 of their last 5. The Pistons have cashed overs in 4 of their last 6. So I'll play an over in this game. I don't want to worry about the ins and outs, Kawhi and PG. Yep. And I'll look for points here in Detroit.
All right, well, let's keep going down the board for today. We have the Wizards versus the Kings. Now, the Kings, 0-5 against the spread, last 5 games against a team with a losing record, and 0-4 against the spread in their last 4 games overall. They are the home dog right now, plus 1.5. But, I mean, the Wizards, they're another hot and cold team right now. I mean, they should get this win. It looks like the odds makers think they could shortly get this win, given their minus 1.5. But how do you see this game going?
So, this is the kind of game where you go, all right, Washington, biggest win of the season. That's awesome. I'm impressed by that. They beat Utah, Sacramento, struggling, losers of 7 in a row. Give me the Wizards. Wizards can't lose this game. This is the exact
game. And
they
go out and lose.
That explains why the Wizards are the 13 seed or in that range in the Eastern Conference. Because they've lost this game all season long. All season long. Like, they've beaten the Jazz, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Sixers, the Nets. They've beaten
all of the good teams.
They've beaten all the good teams. But then they show up in Sacramento.
I'll never understand teams like that. How are you winning against the favorites. Top teams? And then,
yeah. No, but this is what happens. So, for me, I'm absolutely in a spot right now where it's Sacramento or pass. I can't do it with Washington. Now, quietly, rooting for Washington, though. I like the Bulls. I think the Bulls would be fun on the play-in. Washington, though, is a team that would be exciting for the play-in, right? I think they would be a lot of fun if we got to that point in time here. Also, just want to say, going to be really interesting to see what they do with this total because it might be just monstrous. I think when they recently played, a couple weeks back, it was in the like the mid 240s, maybe highest total of the season. So it'll be really interesting to see where they hang that number.
Yeah, and another game that's on the board with the longest odds, we have the Warriors minus 11 over OKC. I assume, Kevin, that you're just going to say they're going to blow them out. Don't worry about it. Just take the Warriors with the points, because you were so frustrated with the OKC when you were talking about them yesterday. Do you stand by that? Right. Do you think they'll be able to just blow them out?
Okay, so some are wondering why I owe the Thunder an apology. Do I owe the Thunder an apology? I say no. The Thunder were up by 14 points in the first quarter against the Jazz, and we're losing at half. How? What is wrong with you? At
that's
one
just
point,
one of those teams. Were, you can't have any expectations that they're going to hold a lead.
Here's the thing for the Thunder. Here's the thing. So the Thunder were live 23.5-point dogs in that game. So they were getting blown out in the fashion to which they were supposed to. But the Jazz mentally were like, all right, we're done here. You're awful. And Lu Dort was like, listen, I'm going to go out there and ball. He put up 42, which is cool. Big Lu Dort fan, so I'm fine with that. They got the cover. But it's a back-to-back for the Thunder. They're probably not going to play anybody. They're probably like, ew, gross, we covered, hate that. Let's make sure. Like, they're going to try and play the game with, like, four players. They're horrendous against the number as a home dog. 9-18 on the season. The Warriors playing some good ball. Winners of three of their last four games, covered in all of those games. So, look, and they played the Rockets as, you know, considerable favorites and got, you know, a nice 16-point victory there. So we've seen them beat up a team when they're supposed to. Yeah, I'm laying in Golden State. Thunder cover two in a row? It can't be. It can't be.
Yeah, there just seems to be no way. Also on the board, just going to rip through some of these. We have the Hornets minus 4.5 over the Cavs. Then I know, it's a huge slate. So many games. Spurs minus 3.5 over the Raptors. Of course, I'm going through games that we haven't hit on just yet. Pelicans minus 2.5 over the Knicks with a total of 220.5 left. And we have one of those early lines. And then the Pacers, of course, on a back-to-back minus 4.5 over the Rockets. Do any of these games, Kev, stand out to you?
So the two that really stand out, Spurs-Raptors again. Look, we've talked about trends all season long. If you're fortunate enough to catch a trend early and you're up multiple units, okay, then don't make this difficult on yourself. If you've been fading the Raptors on the second leg of a back-to-back, turn the brain off, just take the Spurs minus 3.5, and just live with the result. The Raptors have been embarrassing on the second leg of a back-to-back. On the other side of that, the Hornets are on the second leg of a back-to-back against the Cavs. This is a little different, though. As they lost to the Lakers last night, the Hornets sat Terry Rozier, sat P.J. Washington. I wonder if Charlotte, a little lose the battle to win the war, you can have the Lakers game, we want the Cavs game, we'll win this matchup here. So even though it's a back-to-back, some of their guys might be back for them there. Charlotte would be the lean if Rozier returns to the lineup.
Interesting. And yeah, like we've mentioned in this segment, so many NBA games that you can bet on for tonight. Stay with us from the early line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. Now, we wanted to talk about, I wouldn't say it's a hot topic, but something interesting. We wanted to rate Trae Young's McDonald's fit. Personally, I'm not loving it. Let's rate it 1 to 10. I mean, he looks great, whatnot. He's excited. It's obviously red and yellow for McDonald's. I'm not a McDonald's fan. I've already talked about this on the show.
When
I had them
being
knocked out of my bracket, when I had them as the number one seed, 16 seed knocked him off right away. But Kev, what are you rating this outfit?
Yeah. That's right. You got like Jimmy John's moving forward. I'll tell you what though, pro move. I'm not loving it. All right, I'm not mad at that one there. This is out of 10. I mean, it's a 10. Let's be honest here. This is absolute fire from Trae Young. They need to sell these immediately.
It?
Yeah. Like sports.
You're telling me
Secret
you'd walk
Santa
out with a McDonald's jacket on and think you were cool.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely. Trae Young did it.
You wouldn't feel bad about obesity?
Good enough for
childhood obesity with McDonald's?
No.
All right, who would you want to be sponsored by?
Baskin-Robbins. The little
Baskin-Robbins? I've never even been there. That's who you'd pick.
Why?
Why would I go? They're known for their milkshakes,
pink,
right?
Pink and brown, white. I mean, it's ice cream. Yeah. Little Baskin-Robbins, 31 flavors.
Oh, I don't need that.
Get a big 3-1 on it. Scoops ice cream. Be incredible. What do you want?
With Chick-fil-A, of course. I would wear the cow jacket. It'd be cool because everybody loves Chick-fil-A across the board. But my one thing would be if I had to do the sponsorship, they'd have to be open on a Sunday. That would be the one term. I would need them for me to truly be sponsored.
They're
open on a Sunday.
This is how that negotiation would go. Aaron, we want to sponsor you here at Chick-fil-A. Well, I'm not doing it unless you open up on a Sunday. And then they'd go,
you don't even have to pay me if you open up on Sunday. Because every Sunday, when I'm hungover, all I want is Chick-fil-A. And I can never get it.
Well, you're not going to. I might be getting Chick-fil-A myself today. So there's that. So strong case there.
But Baskin-Robbins, really?
The Chick-fil-A fit is not hitting. McDonald's fit,
yeah, 10.
Baskin-Robbins fit, 10. You wearing cow print?
There's no way.
Negative.
Cow print is cool.
-3.
Really big puppy cow jacket. We'll see you tomorrow morning here on the Early Line.
31.
Sports info
is everywhere.
We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single